if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 12. When you get there, turn to the 28th verse, and that's where we'll begin our reading from the scripture. Mark 12 and 28 is where we'll begin.
Brother Delvin, I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Yes.
It's a miracle that anybody gets saved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's by God's love, His care, His mercy, His grace.
Amen.
And we get saved.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. It's a treasure that I don't really know a whole lot about. We won't know until we cross over.
Right.
But the outlook's pretty good.
Yeah.
The outlook's good. And I'm just glad I'm saved. I can't say that enough, but I'm thankful.
Amen.
I know so many people that's lost.
Yeah.
Wandering this world looking for an answer or trying to find it in a bottle or wherever
right.
You're looking. God's still in the saving business.
That's right. That's right.
He wants to help. He wants people to lean on Him.
Mm-hmm.
Trust Him. To love Him.
That's
I'm
right.
Glad we got such a great Savior.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Anyone else have something they need to say or do before we get started?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Mark 12, 28. It begins to read like this. It says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asking him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy
yeah.
God with all thy heart,
yep.
with all thy soul, with all thy mind,
yeah.
with all thy
yeah.
strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For who, there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him to love Him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And you can be seated. And we thank you for standing and reading with us. We don't know how long we'll stand before you tonight. But I have a thought on my mind, and God kind of gave it to me as I was on my way over here. I had a completely different message on my heart and on my mind, and then God kind of just changed everything around. But I know Him to do that quite often because, you know, we can do all the studying we can read all we want, we can do all we want, but He's the one that ultimately sends the message. So let's just buckle in and we'll go with it together. But I want you to realize something today in this book of Mark. We all know about sacrificing in the Bible was a very big thing, and in the old Bible per se, because when Jesus came, sacrifices weren't necessary anymore. But I want you to realize something today when He gave His life. But I want you to realize something that a lot of these people here, Brother Chester, in the book, in the New Testament, they were still trying to hold on to their old belief system. They were still trying to hold true to what the old Bible and what their forefathers had done. But I want you to realize that this is why they always asked Him these kind of questions. They wanted to trip Him up and see if He would say something contrary to what He always did. But God was on His side, so we all know that He is God incarnate. He was God in the flesh because we know that God was a spirit, and He came to do God's bidding. But I want you to think about this here for a minute. These were people that He was trying to teach, and He loved them, and He was trying to show them something and try to do them good. But they always had questions. They were always trying to see if they would stump Him or not. But we all know that He knew everything, and He knew exactly what their plans were. So here is we find Him the same way, that He answers them as directly as He can. They always try to bring and to twist his words. And Jesus, as good as he could, told him what the two best things that they could do were. Was to love God and to love your neighbor. And I want you to realize something today. The gentleman that asked him the question understood what he was talking about, because he said, you're right. There is only one God. And it is right to love him. And it is right to love thy neighbor. But I want you to realize something today. As I read these scriptures, I wonder if he truly really understood in his heart what it meant to love somebody. And I want you to realize something today. That's not where we're trying to go, but we may stop there for a minute. But I want you to realize something today. What the Bible talks about here is that, and I can remember the scripture in my mind, that obedience is better than sacrifice. And I want you to realize something today, that these people, like I've already said, they did nothing but what their forefathers did. That's all they ever knew. And that's all they ever wanted to do, Brother Chester. They didn't care what Jesus had to say. They despised him. They hated him. And they wanted him gone. But I want you to realize something today. That's just like our world today. The world today, as much as we try to love them and we try to care and we try to show God's grace and mercy to them, they're going to do nothing but try to trip you and I up. They don't care about us. They don't love you and I. And they never have and they never will. But praise God's holy name that there's somebody that cares enough for us that he came. The Bible says that he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. No doubt that when the search went out through heaven, Brother Harold, that there was people that were looked over and they weren't good enough and they weren't good enough. This one's not good. This one's not good. The Bible says that a search went out through heaven and earth. So nobody was good enough for the Bob. Oh, but here we know and we find that when they came to Jesus, that the Bible says that he was perfect and he was the only one that was able. Oh, but not only was the only one that was able, he was the only one that was willing to come and to live and bleed and die for the Chester, for the sins of the world that we see around us. Whether they choose to believe him or not, that's not up to God. But it's up to them. They can take what God has given, the precious blood of the Son, and they can choose to believe, or they can choose to discern. What they choose to do for the Herald will spell where they spend eternity. But I want you to realize something today. That's why Christ told him that loving your neighbor was one of the first things you should do. Because it's our job as God's children. It's our job as the Church of Christ. It's our job as Christian individuals to share the love of God today. And I don't know who you come in contact with on a daily basis. But I know I can almost believe 100% of my life that everybody I meet, except for church friends and family, either doesn't know about God or they think they know about him and they have no clue. But I want you to realize something today. That's why you and I are still here. The Bible says that we're like a city set upon a hill. Praise God's name. That's supposed to be brightly lit. But I want you to realize something today. We got to get on board with obedience to God if we're ever going to see the church pews full, if we're ever going to see this pulpit filled with a man who loves God and nothing more, if we're ever going to get the strength of God that we want and we desire for this church, we've got to get some obedience today. Hey, let me tell you, I'm not coming down on nobody. We're in this together, did I say? Because I love you with everything in me as much as I can. I can love you. But praise God's name that God loves you more than I ever could. So much so that he gave his son for you and I. But he gave you a spot that you got in your heart that nobody can take away. There's not enough devils in hell that can take just hold on. Oh, but I want you to realize something today. I know everybody in here. If you've been to church with any amount of time, you know about sacrifices. No doubt, you've read the books in the old Bible where it taught. And for the life of me, I can't remember which book it is. And I'm bad for that. We all know this. I can't remember which book it is, Brother Harold, that lays out what a sacrifice is supposed to be. Oh, but I'll lay it in layman's terms if I can. Because we all should know what we're talking about. I want you to realize something today. When they set up, the tabernacle was set up, and there was things that were supposed to be done a certain way, and there was different sacrifices. Oh, there was an atonement sacrifice, and there was all kinds of different other sacrifices. Oh, but the one, Brother Chester, that they leaned the most on was the one that atoned them for their sins for the year. And I want you to realize something today. They spent an entire year looking for the perfect lamb to bring, or the perfect bull, or the perfect pigeon, or the perfect grain. The best that they had was the only thing that was going to work if God was going to be a blessing to them. And I want you to realize something today. It's no different any now than it was back then. We don't have to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats, or the bull, or the lamb, or the dove. We've been given a perfect sacrifice, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, and praise God's name. We didn't have to do anything for it. All we had to do was believe on the saving power. I believe on the atonement that he gave. And God set up his abode in our heart. Oh, there are several times in the Bible, Brother Chester, that when God would rest upon his people, he would fill wherever they were at with a billowed cloud. And they would come. And that's where they knew when they should stop and they should set up camp. Oh, and God, as long as he was with them there, that's how long they would stay. I want you to realize something now. Now we were going on a journey, and there's nothing that's going to keep us from our destination. Amen. Oh, but praise God's name. The devil, as much as he would love, like the Bible talks about, Jesus talking to Peter, he said that the devil desires to have you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Oh, but that's not where it ended. He said, but I have prayed for you. Aren't you glad today that we've got a God that not only sets our path and warns us of dangers in the path, oh, but he's prayed and he's made assurance that we, if we'll just follow what he says, would have an easy walk with him. Hey, I'm trying to get there. Oh, but I want you to realize something today. That if we ever, Pebble Tab, want to be Riverside that the devil fears, we got to get some obedience, and we got to start. Let me tell you this right now. I'm not saying that Riverside's bad. Riverside's the best church I've ever been a part of. I love this church with everything in me. Oh, but we can't ever be too obedient, church. Hey, the Spirit's as strong in this church as I've ever felt it anywhere else. Oh, but we can always be closer, Brother Chester. There's nothing that God wants us to do more than get close to him. Oh, and that was the driving force behind. Oh, when God would come down and sit with them. I want you to realize something today. When God comes down and he sits with us and he sets up his abode and we get to have what we call church, I don't want to take it for granted anymore. I believe in my heart that these people that Christ was talking to in the book of Mark, that they took for granted what God had set up for them. Henceforth, why would Jesus have to come? I want you to realize something today. I'm tired of taking God for granted.
God, I just want to do His will. And I don't want to do anything other than do what He'd have me to do. Oh, but I want you to realize something tonight. Oh, that if we're ever going to get close to God, we got to put aside what we think and let God have control. Do you remember those men? They were walking to the road of Emmaus, Brother Harold. The Bible says that they were so caught up in where they were in life and that they didn't even realize it was Jesus walking with them. And I want you to realize something today. I've been that man. I've been there before. I've been the guy that God has been walking with every single step. Oh, but I've been too caught up in my pity. I've been caught up in throwing myself too much of a pity party and wondering how is God going to fix my situation? How is God going to help? How is God going to pull it through? I've been too worried and I haven't even seen God moving in my life. Oh, until He shows Himself to me. I want you to realize something today. It's time that we as a church come together and serve God with all of our heart and all of our mind so that He can bless us. He doesn't want to do anything but, Brother Sonia. And I'll tell you this much. These people, they lived and breathed the sacrifice. That's all they knew. Hey, 100% every fiber of my being do I believe that the Baptist way is the only one. I believe that God showed Himself so much in this faith that I would put my life on it. I want you to realize something today. That was some things. Those were the martyrs in the Bible. Oh, they believed God so much that they put their life on the line for Him. I'm not saying you're going to have to step in front of bullets. I'm not saying they're going to cut your tongue out. I'm not saying you're going to lose your life. What I'm saying is we need to take God as serious as He takes you and I. We need to take God as serious as He takes the blood of His Son. We need to take God serious as He took us speaking this world into existence and forming man and doing everything He did so that you and I could find grace today. We need to get on board with God. Brother Chris, I'm not standing up here and telling you guys that you're not doing enough, but I'm standing up here and saying that as much as I love you and as much as God loves you, we need to put the pedal to the metal, as they say, because I don't want Riverside to not be a light. I want Riverside to touch Goshen area, Blanchester, Milford. I want people in Dayton, Ohio to hear about Riverside. I want people in California to know Riverside by name. And we can only do that if we get on board with God and we give Him our heart and we give Him our worship and we give Him our praise and we give Him everything we are, because that is what He accepts today. Sacrifices in the Bible. There was a very, very fine, very, very fine line as to what was good and what wasn't. Couldn't have a spot in its eye. Couldn't have a blemish on the fur or the skin. And it had to be a certain age. And it couldn't go against them. I want you to realize something today, that if we would just look at Christ as what He is, the sacrifice for all men, we would realize that we serve a beautiful and a loving and a caring God, that He would come down, and He would live the way He did. And He would die the way He did. Oh, praise God's name. There wasn't a blemish on Him, Brother James. He went into the wilderness for 40 whole days and was tempted by the devil. And He didn't bow. Oh, praise God's name. Oh, there wasn't anything bad about him. No malice. Because he sat when they found the woman in the middle of adultery. And the only one that was willing and that was able to throw the stone at her. The only one that was able to throw the stone didn't throw the stone. Oh, the only one that was able to take our sin and nail it to a cross. He sat there in Pilate's hall and he bled and then ripped his beard off and they put the crown of thorns on his head and they whipped him with the cat of nine tails and they spit on him, they laughed at him and they ripped his clothes off, stripped him naked and they bet on his clothes. Oh, and that's not the worst thing. Oh, he got to stand there, or be on the cross there, rather, and listen to people mock him and laugh at him. Oh, do you feel that, church? That's the God, or that's the Christ that we serve. He did all those things. He let them spit and feed them vinegar. Oh, and oh my goodness. Oh, and those men on the cross that were willing or that were deserving of what they were going to get, they mocked him. If you're the Son of God, save yourself and us. Oh, but I want you to realize something today. He knew that his sacrifice was the obedient thing to do. And obedience is better than sacrifice. That's the God that we serve. Kenny, I can almost get, I don't know if you've ever seen Cat of Nine Tails before, but it's vicious. It rips skin clean to the bone. To the bone. I'd almost guarantee he didn't have any skin left on his back, Sarah. And he walked a quarter mile with the cross on his back. I read one time, there's the cross part was already in the ground. They had to carry the cross member. And that member was 300 pounds. Usually. It differed a little. I'm not worried about that weight that he carried. That 300 pounds probably felt like nothing rather than the sin of the world that he was carrying to the cross. But do you realize, do you know why he did these things? Love for who? For us? For his dad? His father? And the plan that was set up from the beginning.
Amen.
He was being obedient. He was doing what he had to do to make sure he pleased his father. What are we doing tonight? Kenny, James, come get a song. What are we doing? I've already told you once. I don't believe that we're not in the time when we'll lose our life for saying his name. But I'm not saying it won't come. I'm not saying you're going to spend months and years in jail for just saying God's name. I'm not saying you're going to lose anything. Most people usually agree with you, even if they don't believe him or not. But what are we doing with the gift that was given to us? Are we spreading it? What I was trying to get at, and I hope that you understand where God's coming from here. It's not... Brother Harold, it's not coming to church. It's not just coming to church, I should say. It's not just filling a pew. It's not just raising your hand and saying amen. It's not just coming up here being in the choir. Those are all what I was trying to get to. Why don't we stand? how the Hebrews, they've always done, they always did things a certain way. Think of it like that. There's a certain way that we do things. We sing, we pray, we preach, we praise. God doesn't care about the building now. It's just four walls. What God cares about is your willingness to praise. When you think that, well, that song, it's out of place. If God's put it on your heart, it's not out of place. When you think, I shouldn't do that right now, that's not normal. God's telling you to do it. It is not. It's not about following a form and a fashion. As well as they are, I believe we should have some form of a form and a fashion. We have to understand that God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows every fiber of our being. So it makes us think that he can't form a message around who's here. Or form a song for somebody who's in pain. Or form a prayer to help somebody who's not even here from somebody's lips. God is in control of all things. And we need to trust him. If we want a pastor, we got to trust him. If we want him to add to our numbers, we got to trust him. Want him to help us get our name and our message out there, we gotta trust him. We gotta be willing to do whatever he tells us to do. If he tells you to do something, you better do it. Christ was the perfect example of following the will of God. Several times in the Bible, Brother Harold. One time in particular, he prayed that God would let the cup pass from him. He was asking God, God, if there's another way, let it be. How many times have we been there? God, there's got to be some other way to do it. There's got to be some other way. If God's telling you how to do it, there's no other way. Christ gave everything for the cause of God. We ought to do the same. Everything we have, we need to give it to him. 100%. I hope and pray that you don't think I'm up here coming down on you because I'm preaching to myself. I'm not coming down on anybody. I just want us to realize how precious the gift, Brother Vernon, we have is. God chose you. Out of all the people he could have saved that day, he chose her. February 26, 2006, Brother Jerry, out of all the people in the world, he chose me. That's precious. Gave me something that the world can't even come close to. What have I done? There's been times where I've just been sacrificing, as they say. There's been times where I've been obedient. Let me tell you something, there's something way better about being obedient to me. Nothing touches me. Whether he full-fledged, wholeheartedly believed what Christ was saying there or not, I don't know. But how is the world going to know that God loves them if we don't? How's the world going to know that God cares about him if we don't let him know?
Right.
That's what he's trying to tell them. They were caught up in tradition. They were caught up in who they were naturally speaking, Brother Harold. Brother Chester, they should have been caught up in who was around them. There's times, Brother Sean, But I get caught up in things, and I let them cloud my judgment, and I make the wrong choice. There's no room for that. That's why God gave us these books here. He loves us enough, Sister Maggie, to let us know when we need to move up, or when we need to pick up the pace, or when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and He just sends us a loving message. Every message has love in it. But I hope and pray, if you're here tonight, that you understand where He's coming from. Riverside's a powerhouse church, but it could be stronger. Riverside's got a lot of love, but it could love a lot more. I love you tonight. Is there anyone tonight that's got something they need to say or do?